friends, before we dive into the episode, I have some exciting news to share. Heartbeat Narratives now has a brand new home online at heartbeatnarrativespodcast.com. There you'll find more about the story behind the podcast, along with a listener survey, a guest interest form, and an email sign-up, so you can stay connected and never miss an episode. And if you've ever thought about sharing your own story of joy, I would love to hear from you. We're looking for stories from our islands, whether it's an obsession, a unique job or a career path, a love of a place, a love of Hawaii, or even couples who want to share their love story. From bakers to beekeepers, firefighters to librarians, let's keep learning from each other. This community also keeps growing because of you, and your feedback helps me shape where we go next. If you've been enjoying the interviews, the mini episodes, and my occasional solo reflections, it would mean so much to me if you could take a moment to rate and review Heartbeat Narratives on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Your words help others find us, and I would love to keep these stories of joy flowing. As always, I'm thinking of you and hoping that you're thriving this November. Mahalo for listening. Hi everyone, welcome back to Heartbeat Narratives. I'm Molly and I'm hopping on to do a recap episode of everything that I've been up to. If you've listened to some of the previous episodes, you'll know that I've been traveling. I had the opportunity to do a silent meditation retreat in Big Bear, California. I had made a commitment to myself that I would do a meditation retreat in 2025. It was one of my New Year's resolutions. And usually I don't follow my resolutions. I usually forget them by like March. But this one I felt really committed to because I've always wanted to do a meditation retreat to kind of tap into that inner, deeper voice within myself. And so now I'm back in Hawaii, finding my voice again after being silent for 5 days. It was so different than anything I've ever done. As I'm recording this, it is a rainy Monday night, and I just had my first day back at work, so I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed at the contrast between having been silent all last week and being back in the real world where there are so many sensory inputs. It's so weird to watch my brain and my body process things differently. Because my brain is like, oh yeah, this is my normal routine. This is the daily grind. I'm good at multitasking. But my body is just way in a different place. It feels like my body has slowed down so much. I've been wanting to do something like this for years and years. And in the last year and a half, I've really stepped up my meditation practice. Everyone calls it different things. It might be contemplative prayer, or it could be just being in silence or being in the flow of a sport or gardening or just being in a state of internal awareness and being completely present. Some people find that when they're doing like things that are high adrenaline, like rock climbing or cliff jumping, hiking, all sorts of things. Like people who are adrenaline junkies love being in the present moment, so they're often attracted to like high risk activities. But you can also bring yourself into the present moment through meditation and just that stillness. So almost every day I sit out on my lanai and I either listen to like a narrated meditation or I sit in silence. And it can be anywhere from like 4 minutes to 45 minutes. That's on the high end for me. But I feel so much more centered when I do this. And it was not easy to start because I love checking off to-do lists, getting started with my day right away. But because I don't drink coffee, I think I need something that kind of like helps me focus and brings me inward. And so this has been my thing this year. Sometimes it takes the form of like a walking meditation, and sometimes it's going to yoga right away or doing other things that kind of get my body moving and get me in that mental flow. But anyway, that's a lot of backstory to say I went on a retreat. So I arrived at this retreat center in Big Bear, California, and immediately noticed that I was one of the younger participants. That was kind of interesting to me because I feel like this is so good for people in their 20s and 30s to do, but I think we're all so busy building our foundation for the rest of our lives that we don't step aside and do something that is truly a retreat. I found it really cool that there were a lot of older people who were either later on in their careers or had retired, going through life transitions. Just knowing that every single person, 35 or so of us, was able to step away for 5 days, use their vacation time, spend money to do this. And it was such a privilege for me to be able to do something like this at all, because I feel so much better after having done it. I think to give you a better sense of what it was like, I'll walk through the schedule. So we would start off in our cabins. Someone came around and rang a little bell around 6:15 a.m. You're waking up to this cute bell, and they're walking past each cabin, and got up, changed really fast, and then walked down to the sitting room. And then you meditate from 6:45 till about like 7:15, 7:20. And there was something so inviting and welcoming sitting on these maroon cushions. You're right in the middle of these pine trees and it smells good. You're truly immersed in nature in the forest. And something about the cool air was really refreshing, and like I was able to be very clear-headed and almost take deeper breaths because it was the first time I only had to focus on my breath or find another anchor within the outer environment, whether it was through like open awareness of all the little sounds or more focused awareness. For me, when I meditate and sit there in silence, my breath is that constant anchor that I can come back to and find deep relaxation and peace in. But I didn't realize that until I went on the retreat, how solid I felt in that as the steady reminder of I can be present in this moment. So it's really easy to get distracted. You start to notice all the sounds in the room. A lot of people were sneezing, shuffling their feet, zipping up their sweaters. I tried my best not to move too much, but you notice every itch, you notice the people around you, and they even asked all of us not to wear scented products, any strong colognes, because when you're sharing space for that long with people, you'll notice every kind of smell. I bought unscented deodorant for the first time in my life, and they provided all of these unscented products, shampoo, conditioner, things like that. And I realized that this might be kind of weird for everyone because this seems like a very specific desire of mine to go into silence. So if this is too far-fetched, totally fine. I've had 10 years to build up wanting to do something like this, so feel free to continue listening if this is kind of intriguing. I just felt really inclined to record about it because there were a couple of funny stories that came out. And I had a lot of time to think. So after that first 30-ish minute meditation, you walk up to the eating hall. Everything was vegetarian. I don't think I've had that many vegetables for 5 days in a row ever in my life. So a lot of salads, soups, stews, tacos, bean salads, toast and peanut butter, all kinds of nut butters, tea, coffee. I think we had cookies twice last week, and they even had these squares of dark chocolate if you really felt like indulging. And for those who had a harder time going without more protein, they also provided a refrigerator with hard-boiled eggs, Greek yogurt, milk, and then emotional support cheese. And so I didn't think that I would need the emotional support cheese, but by the third day, I just missed cheese so much, like having something salty. And my electrolytes were just super low, so having more protein and salt was really, really helpful for like feeling like a normal human. It was really nice to get those cookies, because all you're thinking about in between these meditation sessions is, what am I going to eat next? What do I have to look forward to? So that was the meal situation. We would go back at 8:45 to the meditation hall and receive a talk by the people who were leading the retreat, who were longtime meditators within the Buddhist tradition. This particular retreat was very welcoming to people of all faith backgrounds. You didn't need to be Buddhist to attend. And a lot of the material was more secularized so that it could be accessible to all people in many different contexts. Whether you're dealing with PTSD or working with kids or super new to meditating, it felt really approachable. And I loved that because I have very little experience with meditation in general. I noticed that my attention was so focused that I would get these awesome, brilliant ideas just kind of dropped into my head throughout the days because I wasn't distracted by my phone. My phone was such a crutch. That first day, we even did a cell phone renunciation event where you would write your name on this blue painter's tape and then tape it to the back of your phone, and you walked up and put it in this basket. And letting go of my phone was so nice. I didn't think that I necessarily would enjoy not having my phone, because I definitely had some moments where that would have been my default to check my phone, scroll on Instagram, check my emails, text people. But I didn't have that opportunity, so I wasn't even tempted by it. And I am so happy I got that chance to rewire my brain to do other things. Moving into mid-morning and lunchtime, we continued to do like 30-minute sits and the 30-minute walking meditations. The grounds of the retreat center were so perfect for walking and hiking. And it was funny to just see all these people wearing like their winter jackets and hiking boots, walking super slowly and just sort of paying attention to how your feet touch the ground and your balance and just gently moving through the world, but not talking or interacting with each other. There was a lot of nodding, like bowing to each other, since we couldn't necessarily make a lot of eye contact or speak, to just honor someone who might hold the door open for you. Just kind of like, you know, nod your head or like put your hand to your heart. There was just limited interaction between the participants. We took that vow of noble silence to really honor that inner experience that each of us was seeking. Let's see. So lunchtime, back to eating. I had a yogi job, and each of us signed up for a 30-minute job each day, and it was the same over the 5 days. They said that they would always need people to work in the kitchens, so I signed up to wash the big pots and pans. The first day, I like ate my lunch in silence. You know, we're all sitting next to each other, but we're not looking up. We're just mindfully trying to eat and savor everything. And I stood up and I was like, okay, where do I go in the kitchen? And there were like five doors and they all said staff only. So I didn't want to just like walk into a random kitchen door. So I looked around and I saw this woman who was an employee. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to break my vow of silence, but I really have no idea where to go. And they did give us permission to speak if we really needed to or to whisper. And so I like tapped her on the shoulder and I was like, I'm a pot washer. And then she pointed to one of the doors and I walked in. So when I broke my vow of silence on the first day, it was to say 4 very important words. I'm a pot washer. So I didn't expect that to be the most important thing I was going to say that day, but it turns out it was. But washing all the pots, you feel very productive. We were in this big kitchen and I was like the rinser, rinsing all the food off. The middle person was like the soap scrubber, and the third person was the rinser and sanitizer, and then they would put everything away on the drying racks. We would rotate each day, and I remember on the second or third day, I was the washer, like the scrubber person, and we were in this really good workflow. We were like vibing, everything was moving really fast. We were trying to fit everything in 30 minutes, and then we got the muffin tins, and it was like 6 by 4, so 24 muffins in each tin, and everything was still like baked on, and so the water didn't really get it off, and then the rinser handed it to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be such a bottleneck. So I was slowly scrubbing everything. And we were all just like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be so slow. But I made eye contact with the woman next to me and we just busted out laughing because it was gonna take me so long to scrub every single circle. And it did. It took me like probably 10 minutes to scrub just one tin. And then there was a second one with another 24. So anyway, it was kind of funny to like laugh, because it was such an honest human reaction, even though we were in silence and couldn't really talk about it. A few thumbs up between us when we were all done. And then moving into the afternoon, I mean, this was like very similar each day. So there was something about the routine and moving forward that really kept you going. And that predictability was almost a comfort. That first day in the afternoon, we had some downtime. And I went back to my cabin and I just had no idea what to do. I had like a full-on panic moment because I didn't know how to use that downtime without something scheduled as a group, without my phone, without my laptop. I had nothing. So I was just kind of freaked out by the fact that I would be bored. I swear the last time I felt that way, I was a kid, but I wasn't panicked by it because when you're a kid, you have the option to play and be outside and just be totally distracted and have fun with your friends and your siblings. But even back then when I was a kid, we didn't have cell phones yet, so it wasn't even on my radar. But now having such a dependency on technology, it was such a weird feeling. I think the first 10 minutes I looked out the window at all the glistening pine trees in the wind, and then I did some stretches, and then I did gua sha, that like facial roller tool. If you don't know what gua sha is, I think a lot of the ladies would know, but it's this way of like bringing circulation into your face by using like a roller or this little flat tool that you brush on different parts of your face. I'm not doing a great job of explaining this, but it's very relaxing and brightens up your skin. It's part of many people's skincare routine. But yeah, I did gua sha for like way too long. And then I went and sat out on the porch for a while and just looked up at the sky. We also had Qigong, which is a practice of energy movement and bringing energy into the body through various slow movements of your arms and your hands and your legs and breathing. We had yoga every day for about 45 minutes and also had talks at like 4 p.m. and then again at 8 p.m. Each day it was like 2 to 4 hours of meditating, not in a row. 3 talks by the women leading the retreat, and then a lot of movement. And I'm really, really proud of myself because I normally don't do things alone, but I went hiking by myself every single day. And that was a new experience for me because there is part of me that has this deeply ingrained fear of being like kidnapped on a hike. And I think it's just something about being a very small person and feeling physically vulnerable and being in like the dark woods. But every day I went on a hike for at least 45 minutes through the forest, nobody else around. I must say, hiking in Hawaii is a lot more exciting because it's lush and green and there's usually some kind of destination like a waterfall or an ocean vista, and you really feel like you're going somewhere. And California is beautiful, but it just felt like I was walking in someone's backyard for a very, very long time. Another significant thing that I noticed was by the middle of the retreat, around day 3, my emotions started to rise and they felt like they were just below the surface of how I was interacting with the world. And so I was feeling really, really tender and just very teary. It was so nice to have that vulnerability and being in that space because it opened up my mind and my heart to new ideas. Days 4 and 5, I felt a lot more clear-headed, more centered. And so now, being a few days out of the retreat, I feel like I have space to process, emotions to process, new perspectives. And this is the first time I feel this massive shift internally. I'm actually very much drawn to the idea of doing a silent retreat every year just for that emotional maintenance, have that time to process life. And I also had this realization that we can do this without going on an actual silent retreat. You can meditate in so many different ways, whether it's camping for a few days by yourself, or just having a weekend where you unplug from all technology, stay home and do projects around the house. There's so many ways to tap into that inner silence. And that's when you have the space to just receive. One of the cool images that came to me was when I was sitting on this cushion for so many hours a day, I just imagined my head as like having like a big bowl on top. And my only job is to focus on my breath over and over and over again, even though I'm having all these distracting thoughts and to-do lists, but to leave that bowl there so that new ideas and words and realizations can be dropped in by spirit, by source, by God, whatever it is that you feel you commune with, that you have that portal to receive it. And it was just really special. I didn't have any epiphany moments, but I definitely had moments of like receiving words where I would be holding on to this idea or this feeling or a pattern that I have in my life. And I just got the word soften. And when I felt that word and saw the word like written in my mind's eye, my whole body relaxed. Even the knots in my back softened this week, which was the most unexpected thing. especially since you're sitting in one position for so long. Another thing that people have noticed when they go on silent retreats is you become intensely curious about everyone else around you because there's nothing else to focus on. You start to write stories about them in your own mind, where they're from, what kind of job they have, why they're there. Every single person is choosing to do this kind of crazy thing. We're all there seeking something. The journalist within me and the podcaster within me wanted so badly to know every single person's story. Because for Heartbeat Narratives, I'm always like, how do we build empathy when we don't know everybody's stories? How do we connect on a human level to all the people we come in contact with? So we should ask them, who are you? Where are you from? But in this particular setting where you're not allowed to talk to each other, you're respecting each other's silence, I just had to naturally let go of my desire to know everything about them. And at the root of it, just give them empathy no matter what, because they were choosing to be there for some very important reason. The same way I was choosing to be there to give myself space to process. That was like a really big realization, was not every story needs to be documented. I can just honor who they are, and that's it. And that's enough. I'll transition to the last day, where we got to break the silence after our 6:45 a.m. morning meditation. And everyone was like really excited to talk to each other. We had been given opportunities throughout the week to ask questions of the teachers, but it wasn't like we had a lot of interaction one-on-one with people. We did have an exercise where we could talk to one other person and ask them over and over again what they were noticing. I noticed even in that brief exercise, just making eye contact with someone for an extended period felt really intense. And I was like, how do I do this in everyday life all the time? Talking to new people, reading their body language, feeling my own heartbeat and my own breath and other sensations in my body. How do I take in all this sensory input? So the final day, we broke the silence. A bunch of us ate breakfast together and exchanged emails and learned about what everybody did and where they were from. A lot of us had already been memorizing other people's names throughout the week because you don't have anything else to think about. So I knew at least like 10 or 15 people's names and made a point to say their name because it felt so good to finally acknowledge other people and have them smile at you. I had some really awesome conversations with people who did all types of work, from being lawyers to being students, working in conservation, people who sat on boards of nonprofits here in Hawaii, people who had family in Hawaii. It was just so nice to finally connect and break up the intensity a little bit, because you do form impressions about people. So it was nice to break that ice and be like, oh, okay, this is just a normal person who, even though they didn't hold the door open for me, I shouldn't take it personally. They're a kindergarten teacher and they're here because they're processing their daughter going away to college. You start to fill in the gaps in those stories that you made up in your mind. A few of us drove back to LA together, and we decided to stop at a diner for lunch. That was like the first interaction being in traffic again. And so we parked the car, went into this cute diner, still in Big Bear, walked in, see people, other humans, received menus, sat at a table. And I had this like crazy kind of panic attack feeling of like, oh my gosh, there's way too much sensory input. My whole body was shaking and we had to actually talk each other through, like, okay, connect with your breath, feel your feet on the ground, touch the table. I just had no idea that my brain could register that I'm back in normal life, but my body wasn't ready to be back in normal life. Just having that body awareness and being super tapped into that was also a big realization that our bodies tell us things. Our na'au, or our gut, our center of intuition in Hawaiian, is so spot on, but we oftentimes disregard our gut reactions to things. Now that I'm back and at work, today was a bit of a trip. I woke up at 6:30 in the morning, did a 10-minute meditation, and went on a walk in my neighborhood. Usually it takes me 40 minutes, but for some reason today this walk took me an hour and 15 minutes. I'm just super slow now. Like, everything is so slow. My brain is working slower. Writing emails today took me 15 minutes each for, like, very simple emails. And driving to work felt so long. And I think probably because I was driving a little bit slower and more cautiously, because I know that my brain is on overdrive at the moment. Thank you so much for allowing me to debrief this incredible experience. Yeah, it's a little out there. Maybe it'll inspire you to dive into your own quiet contemplative practice. I think from now on, I'm going to try to do this every year, doing something where I can just tap into that inner voice, that inner silence. So, mahalo for listening. It's been a privilege to do this podcast with you, and I will catch you on the next episode. Take care.